Aloha from Nashville, USA, where Jason Algean, who was performing in Vegas, is from. I was having dinner with a pastor who actually pastors, who used to pastor Amy Grant, Michael W. Smith, people like Jason, and just a bunch of those luminaries that come from country music. They're believers, most of them, when we heard the news. And so Nashville responded by opening churches immediately for prayer and for vigil. They did not carry on business as usual. They identified with the people in Las Vegas, which I think was so sweet and so wonderful. Saturday Night Live last night, it's not a show that I watch, featured Algean opening, and they went off message. They didn't come up with their usual crass soliloquy in the beginning. And they had him sing a song that I'm thinking of featuring next week as part of part two of our message about standing against the gates of hell. That we must remember who we are in these times. So we saw the face of fear, didn't we? We saw the face of fear, but greater than that is we saw the face of faith and the face of God through courageous acts of people who sacrificed their own safety to help others. You know, the Bible says we're made in God's image. And sometimes it takes great adversity to get us out of our great comfort to rediscover who we are and how we're really wired. All of us here are wired to look like him and act like him. But the last two series has been about, through faith, finding him and finding that greatness. And so I want you to grab your neighbor's hands a little bit here. We're all one, even with the children, because in pulpits across America today, everybody is talking about what happened there because it could happen anywhere. So Father, we look to you and we thank you. We're a blessed nation, but you're speaking to us. Whether it's the threat from North Korea or storms we have no control over or earthquakes, Lord, or financial breaches through Yahoo and Equifax, it's like from multiple angles you're saying, remember who you are. Remember who you are as a country birthed on Scripture. Originated is a cry for religious freedom without oppression. And so today, Lord, we remember the people of Las Vegas, especially the friends and family who lost loved ones, who are seeing lost ones still healing in hospitals. For those who are simply traumatized from having been there and seeing the carnage, we pray for your comfort. We pray for your healing grace. We pray for your manifest presence, Lord, to embrace them, to see life and to see you anew. We are not slaves to sin or to fear, as Corey led us and the worship team led us this morning. But Lord, we're your children.
Yes.
And we camp on that today as we start our new Overcomers series. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, we are blessed and chosen, first of all. We are. We are blessed and chosen. I was amazed at so many people who came out of that saying, we're a blessed people. We feel and cry for those who lost their lives and those that are healing. But we are a blessed people, a great perspective. Here is our opening passage this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Wow. So let's break this down. He knew us. God knew us before the worlds were put together. Before creation itself materially was formed, God knew that you would be here today. He knew you, how you would be wired, the passions and gifts that you would have. And he's pre-qualified every one of us with a full complement of heaven's blessings. That's powerful. Sometimes we read Scripture, but we don't really understand what it says or believe what it says. And he's predestined us to live holy lives of purity and integrity. What you saw the shooter do in Vegas is not God's design. It is the result of a fallen and a flawed nature. And all of us, we have inherited the nature of Adam in the garden. When he fell, we fell. Kenzo looks like Tim because Kenzo comes from Tim and Blanca. Kenzo acts like Tim. Well, maybe not all the time. He can't help it because it's the same DNA. Well, there's the good side and the bad side. And we saw the dark side in Vegas. This shooter who seemed to have no priors, seemed very normal, middle class, bought a home that you and I would envy, really was a very mild-mannered man. But we find, as we look at this, and we break the story open, that we have choices to make sometimes. And we are called not to be evil, but we're called to be sons and daughters of God. Look here. Verse 5, the passage unfolds. In love, he predestined us, or predetermined, for us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. In Scripture, in the culture of that day, sons encompass both male and female. So women, we're not trying to be offensive, but the Scripture does say sons. So I threw in their daughters so as to not to offend this gender-sensitive generation. However, men, the Bible says the church, God's family, is called the bride of Christ. And so you have feminine attributes as well. Okay? So women, you're called sons of God. Men, you're called part of the bride of Christ. Slap your neighbor and say, so good. So good. Okay? Now, it has been determined that when we receive Jesus by faith into our hearts and lives, you know, we go from knowing about God to knowing the Lord by faith, all right? We're no longer slaves to sin, but we're sons of God. Yes. But more than that, Scripture honorably refers to us as servants. The Bible says the greatest in heaven is those who serve. But when the Lord receives us and we receive him, we go beyond being servants. We become family. So some of us here, we were born into a family, and you look at your brothers and sisters, you went, oh, I wish it were different. Yeah. Right? All of us. But we don't get to choose the lineage or the family we're born into. God predetermines all of that. And once we choose him in faith, as the Spirit of God moves on us and we respond to him in faith, we understand in the formation of our past why God has allowed us to go through certain things. He will take anything that looks like trash and turn it into treasure. Out of the hell of Vegas, we see heroes. Out of the tragedy of Vegas, we see triumphs. And we see the nature and the image of God that we are made because we are family come forth. Now, the thing about family is you're born into it. You don't work your way into it, or you don't earn your way into it, right? So, as I say in your notes there, you see on screen, we do not perform our way into God's family. We're born into it. And Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was like a theologian of his day. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were like the Scripture experts of their day, except they added to Scripture like hundreds of little requirements and laws that God never intended, which communicated to the people of that day that to have a righteousness worthy of heaven, you had to do all these things, perform like crazy, and then maybe you'll get there. It's not the gospel. It's not the good news. We'll never be good enough to earn our way into heaven. And so this Pharisee is having a conversation. His name is Nicodemus. We'll call him Nick. Not to be confused with you, Nick. Jesus answered, truly, truly, he's saying to him, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because the way this man is wired is it's yes, it's belief, but it's also performance. So he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. How does that happen? It's by receiving the gospel. Jesus came, God in the form of man, the Son of God, every bit God, to die on the cross because death is the penalty for all sin. That had to be done. And it had to be accomplished by a righteous, pure person. Only Jesus could accomplish that and fulfill that penalty. But he shed his blood, which is the element of the cleansing, the remission of our sins that sets us free from those kinds of tendencies that you saw in Vegas. The blood of Christ washing over our soul, bringing transformation. And when we respond to him in faith and saying, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I belong to you. When we say yes to Jesus by saying, I believe you, I receive you into my life, I will follow you, something happens, you're born again. That's the gospel. A lot of people think that if I go to church, I'll go to heaven. Not true. It's like me saying, if I walk into, you've heard this before, a garage, that makes me a car. Doesn't it? I'm glad, Mom, you think that, yeah? See, by the way, this is my favorite service. You know the services of the main campus? It's so big, and it's got smoke and lights and, you know, darkness. I feel like I'm in a concert. It's the air conditioning is so cold because Pastor Paris likes it cold. Here, I can actually feel like I'm talking to people. So thank you for being. Give yourselves a hand. Plus, I'm older. I don't have as much energy to do to kind of scream at people, okay, anymore. So we are born into the family. Many of us have grown up in families where we have to earn a right to be treated correctly, right? We have to make money. We have to go to a right school. We have to get good grades. We have to win trophies in leagues. And we grow up in a culture that rewards success by performance and by accomplishment and achievement. And the gospel is totally the opposite. God says, I receive you as you are. No strings attached. All you need to do is believe on and receive me as I am and what I've done for you. It's the gospel. So we're born into the family. Kenzo was born into the Ma family. And they look alike. And we were made to look like Jesus. Now, when we fall or fail, God doesn't reject us. He restores us. All we need to do is say, Father, I've sinned. Help me. And this is a beautiful thing. It's not performance driven. But something happens along the way because we live in a very do it and you belong culture. We forget who we are. And God made us to look like Him. He did. Scripture tells us that Jesus, God, is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, number one. Number two, Scripture says from the book of Genesis on, we were made in His image. We are to reflect Him. We are a reflection of Him, and He reflects us. Thirdly, in the book of Revelation, it says we are called to be kings and priests of the Most High God. We are actually called to rule and reign on the earth over evil and terror. To bring it all together, Pastor Tim located a clip from a great theological movie, which you must see or you cannot go to heaven. It's called The Lion King. How many of you have seen it before? Okay. Well, let's go to the movies. Can we go to the movies? Because great call. Amen. This captures everything. Watch this.
I think you're a little confused.
Wrong. I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Oh, and I suppose you know.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope! Wrong again!
He's alive! And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on! Don't dawdle! Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait!
Come on! Come on!
Slow down.
Stop. Shh. Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Simba, you are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
That great clip, that great moment, that says it all. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible says he roars from the heavens and he roars over evil. This is a great opportunity. We have a church in Vegas, it's probably packed out today. Many points of light. One of the key point men for security attends our church in Vegas. In fact, he's the wife of the children's director. And he said one of the marvelous things as he, in the carnage, tried to be part of the force that brought peace. He says, the most disturbing thing is people at the casinos didn't flinch and continued to gamble in spite of the announcements, in spite of the declaration, you're in denial. So you have everybody scrambling for their life and people gambling and refusing to leave the craps tables. Something is wrong with that. And what God is trying to tell our country right now is, wake up. I've been given you, remember who you are. I've called you. You are a country born on Scripture. Part of the origins is religious freedom. I made you the wealthiest country on the planet. I've made you the most powerful superpower on the planet. And you have a stewardship. You have the ability to be purveyors of the gospel to the planet. It is not about you and your wealth and success. It is about the mission. And I feel like God's telling America, I made you in my image. Remember why you're here and remember who you are. There have been a lot of awakenings here. I had one. 1975, I had a friend that I grew up with who at the last moment thought he could fly. He was very troubled. And we have people like this all around us if we're slowed down enough when we're aware. And he jumped off of a 38-story building. Rocked our world. See, when it's your friend, it matters. And so, 7 months later, his big brother, who used to take karate with me, when you're Japanese, you're in Kalihi, you actually think like you can be Bruce Lee. I sucked, okay? Didn't work for me. But when we were younger, in a competition, I beat him. Okay? Because I was faster. You know, I mean, if it was a fight to the death, it would have been terrible. You know, I would have been bludgeoned and dismembered. Well, his big brother walks into an office with myself and another brother. We're training for the ministry. And he's demonically manifesting. He flips in and out of different voices and different personalities. I hadn't had much experience at dealing with this. But in theory, we know from Scripture, it's all over the place. So I look at my friend. He looks at me. We both know this guy. He's about 5'10", 240 pounds. Stout guy. And by now, he is a full-on, full-contact karate champion. He intimidates us. But when he flips back into his right personality, he says, please help me. I have these voices telling me to kill the people on this list, and I have a gun in my car, high-caliber pistol. There's 36 names on it. And I know that this can't be right, but the voices are telling me this is what I must do. And so we locked the door. We knew he couldn't leave the room. The problem was he was downright scary and strong, because when you're demonized, you have a supernatural strength. He came up to me, and I'll never forget this. He came up and he put his finger in my face. He says, I remember what you did. He started talking to me. This is crazy. You knew I could have flattened you, but it was just a sport. Now I can kill you. He picks up this desk, this World War II desk, picks it up in a show of strength like this. And I was like, holy cow. And he drops it. Kaboom. I went, ooh, this is bad. Okay. I got sweat dripping down my two cheeks. I can still feel it today, literally, almost as I tell the story. And I was scared out of my mind. Okay, now, in theory, I know what Scripture says. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. But this was a stare down. This was physical strength. And he came up to me. When you're backed against the wall, almost literally, you're either going to give in to the emotion of fear or you're going to actually believe Scripture. I said, well, if I go and die, I go down fighting. So, with the best faith I could choose, I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, greater is he that is in me than is in the world. I said, the power of Christ conquers you. And I command you to stand down. He sat down. And I went, like a, I did this in the last, it works. The sucker works, man. And it's like right there was a surge of confidence. But the other thought part of my brain is, I hope he don't stand back up anytime soon. And I'm looking at my friend who was smaller than me at the time. I said, great help he is, all right? Took 3 hours, marked my life. We got help from a more experienced minister. And I saw the power of the Lord. And this guy was delivered, set free, eventually got married and went to Hope Chapel. He didn't even come to our church, the guy. All we did for him, okay? No, just through that. I'm healing, I guess. I don't know what's it about. I shudder to think, what if he didn't have us to turn to? See, he knew we were Christians. He had the sense to know that there was enough seed in him from the Bible that this is where he could get help. And so I wrote a blog on the Vegas thing because my phone was starting to light up. I thought I'd better write something so I can refer people there because I was doing some ministry. It was intense time of ministry in Nashville. What if he didn't have somebody to turn to? I shudder to think, I played the movie forward, he would have tried to kill all those people. Later on, we looked, there was the gun, there was the list in his compartment. As I preach today, Pastor Billy Lowell is sharing his own experience with a person who ended up on our staff and is now a missionary to Japan who has the same story. We can tell you from this church over 23 years, we've had stories like that where we've intercepted people who've said, I hear these voices telling me to kill people. If you do the search and you get into the detail on people who have been the purveyors of mass violence, if they chose not to kill themselves or were not taken out, you will find almost 100% of the time they were hearing convincing and compelling voices that sounded like God to them, giving them a righteous reason to kill innocent people because they were evil. That's a spiritual battle. Yeah. What Paddock did from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Hotel was not, it wasn't mental illness. It might have been part of that. But he seemed very normal. That was spiritual. And the enemy likes to hide in dark places of our soul. And so I wrote in my blog, if you're around people, slow down enough in life where you can pay attention to people who are depressed, despondent, and discouraged. Because if we can catch them there, I have a master's in counseling. 85% of problems will heal just from being able to talk it out with a person of trust or a small group, which is why we're so huge on grace groups. That's how Jesus raised up his church. It wasn't through big shows and programs. It was through small groups. He had 12 and one was funky. His name was Judas. So even then, but they knew. And I'm asking you the question is, here's what happened for me at that point. Not only did I remember who I was, something was etched in me. I would never forget. I know who I am. And greater is he who lives in me than he who is in the world. There were more experiences later, not as dramatic as that one. And I believe the Lord is saying to churches throughout America, ensure, make sure you know Jesus. With that comes an authority to stare down evil and stop it before it can become viral like what we've seen. Do you know who you are? If you do, remember who you are and act upon it. And it starts with conversations. Just simple, loving conversations. And in the conversation, people up close will be able to see the reflection of he who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are made to look like God. I'd say this guy, quit trying to look like somebody else. Okay, here's what Scripture says. We're going to close with this. Psalm 139, one of my favorite scriptures. The great psalmist David, in communion with the Lord, gets this revelation. He says, "You form my inward parts. It's you, God." And we know this up here, but it's something when it gets down here. "You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Wow. When you break down the original language, it's really saying you are a work of art. You are a masterpiece. Okay? "Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." That scripture is basically saying God doesn't do anything halfway, haphazardly, randomly, or unintentionally. You were made to look exactly how you look. The frame that I have, all 5 feet, 4.5 inches of me, I've shrunk a half an inch, my doctor tells me. God made me small on purpose. God made you Filipino on purpose. And it's for His purpose that will unfold as we move forward. But you're not random. And sometimes under pressure, only under pressure, we move from comfort to a discovery of true identity. Matthew Cobos is one such person, a soldier stationed here in Hawaii. Let's throw up his picture here. Matthew means the gift of God. It is the first book of the New Testament. When things exploded, Matthew Cobos covered this woman he did not know. Okay, this is the show. This is the picture that's gone by. It's from Hawaii. Under pressure, he reflected God. He was not the only one who acted with courage. With his hands, he also tried to cover her eyes so she wouldn't panic by seeing the carnage all around her. Because what you can't see there is body parts. Okay. After he gets her to safety, he runs back into the storm and the carnage and helps other people with tourniquets, mending their wounds and helping them to safety. Matthew Cobos had not one scratch on him. In fact, if you research it, many people who responded in the image of God with a gospel-like tenacity, because remember, Jesus came to die, risk his life. To my knowledge, very few of them, if any of them, lost their lives. It's almost as if God put a bubble around them because they became who God called them to be, doing works far in advance, known by the Lord who is infinite from before the foundation of the world, that they would be in the midst of 22,000 people saving lives. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus from the heaven, roared his approval. That's who we are. We bring light and hope to dark places in people's lives far before it gets to a mass shooting. And if every one of us will just be who we are, really, and reflect that light, we can make a big difference. I want to close with this. This is Lynn Martinez, 16 years old. She's a believer. But she was not able to act because she disconnected with her identity. But she honestly and humbly shares that point. Take a look at this from CBN.
This 16-year-old grew up overnight.
My heart goes up to everyone. I understand. I was there. And I'm just praying for every single person for healing and peace.
When Lynette sees all of these people packed into blood centers throughout Las Vegas, trying desperately to keep up with the life and death demand, she sees hope, healing, and good overcoming evil.
And it's amazing to see the blood donation banks with hundreds of people lining up because they're not thinking about politics. They're not thinking about religion while they're doing it. They're thinking about other people. And they're thinking about people that are helpless.
Martinez still cannot believe she made it out alive.
I was waiting to get shot. I wasn't waiting to come out alive.
And now that you have come out alive, how do you see the world?
So much different. It's so different. I find I have so much compassion towards other people. I just thank God every single day.
Church is the only place she wanted to go and is so grateful she has this community.
My heart is warmed by the many people that are coming together right now, even at this church. And it's just amazing.
And how do you feel about the gunman?
I don't think it's his fault. I don't think it's his fault. He's not right. It wasn't God. It wasn't him. It was another thing. It was an evil thing. I forgive him.
She plans to take it one day at a time and cling to her faith.
So I'm going to read the word, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to pray, because that's the only thing that can get me through it.
You never really know how you'll respond when your world comes crashing down.
I'm going to love people more. I'm going to think of people as if they were my friend, they were my best friend, because they're as if they were my brother, my sister, because they are. We're all together here for a reason.
Lynn Martinez was a believer, but, you know, like many believers in America, we just use the gospel to serve us. God help me and my family be safe. And that was the extent of things. And, you know, the Lord is calling us out of that. We are called to change the world, not just be in the world. And that begins by changing the world all around us with the people that we know. Lynn Martinez says, I'm going to be reaching out, expressing compassion to others, right? That's why we plant this site, so we can be closer to others who don't know Jesus, and his light will come through all of us. Can I see or hear an amen in the house? Okay. And life is not supposed to remain the same moving forward. Pastor Paris is very prophetic. Okay, one thing about Pastor Paris Leashi, and he's my right arm in the church. Sometimes the Lord shows him stuff. And last night when he was preaching our Saturday night service, he had a vision. And in it, he saw the hand of God has been covering America, given the stewardship of the gospel. But his fingers were starting to part. This hand has protected us from evil. The fingers are beginning to part because we're not beginning to respond. And sometimes it just takes adversity and a proliferation of evil to wake us up to the fight that's at hand. Pearl Harbor woke up America and triggered our journey into becoming the superpower that we are today. God does not decree evil, but sometimes he lets us reap what we sow because we're not becoming who he's meant for us to be. We're children of God. Lynn Martinez realized, I've got to be that. Staying there just trying to hide with all of the gospel in you doesn't work. You've got to let the lion who lives in you, the lion of the tribe of Judah, out. She's determined to do that. Matthew Cobos jumped on a girl, ran back to help others. You know what? He didn't do that because it was his job. He did that because that was his identity. You can't help but be you, who you are under pressure. I go back, a demonized friend, and I'm realizing this is a stare down, who's going to blink moment of truth. And I remember, wow, the Word of God really works. Next week, we're going to do part two in Overcomer. How do you deal with opposition spiritually? So be sure you're here. Bring your friends and family. We're going to make it simple and non-threatening, because it is. But it starts with remembering who we are. We're a child of God.